So, what an honor it is to be able to gather and worship with all of you today. I'm just so glad that you decided to join us this morning. And again, I'm Pastor David, and I'm just so glad that you're here with me today. Welcome to our church again. So as a church, our mission is sharing good news. I hope that you've experienced that already in our worship, in our prayers, in our scripture reading, and so forth. But that's my heart for you today, that you would be encouraged, you would be corrected in some ways, and transformed ultimately by good news. Two quick things for you as we continue our service. The first is this. Today's the fourth Sunday of the month, which means we're serving dinner as a church at the Pillars Adult Homeless Shelter. And because of you, I'm excited to say we don't have any needs. You've covered everything, which is a Christmas miracle. So thank you for that. If you forgot what you signed up to bring tonight, or if you would like any other information about the things that we have coming up in the next few weeks and months, please go to appletongospel.com/events, and you'll be able to see the sign-up sheet for the dinner tonight and also so much more. So go there. My second announcement is this. As a church, we believe that financial giving is an act of worship, of giving God the glory, honor, and praise that he deserves. And so today, if you'd like to give any amount, you can do so a couple different ways. You can go to appletongospel.com/give, and there's a couple options there. You can also text an amount that you'd like to give to 84321, or you can use the high-tech giving boxes in the back of the room here in person. So, and thank you to those of you who are able to give today. Let's pray again as we continue in worship together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for an ability to gather in person and online to sing songs of praise, to read your word, to understand, hopefully in a little deeper way, who you are and what you would have for us today. Father, I pray that you'd fill us with your spirit so that we might understand your word today and we might understand a little bit better the deep and profound mystery of the humanity of your son, Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, all year we're focusing on the person and work of Jesus, and today we're finishing our little Christmas mini-series that started last week. It proceeded through Christmas Eve, several services there, which were very candlelight fun, and then this morning. So last Sunday, as I mentioned, we focused on the divinity of Jesus Christ, fully God, Son of God from eternity past, and today we're going to be focusing on Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, born in Bethlehem, fully man. One person with two natures. You are one person with one nature, as am I. That is the normal pattern for human beings on this planet, the planet Earth. Jesus Christ is a little different. This amazing story of who Jesus is includes the fact that Jesus is fully God, and as we'll focus on today, is also, at the same time, fully man. If you have a Bible or Bible app, we're going to continue where we left off in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22, and we'll put the scripture on the screen as well. This is a little longer passage, so focus your mind on God's word. Let's read together. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to, that is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. This is God's word. So here we have Luke's account of what happened about 6 weeks after the passage that we looked at on Christmas Eve, of Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem, and Jesus born and laid in a manger, and the angels and the shepherds and all of that. So after the Christmas pageant is done and all the presents were open, Luke paints this picture here of faithfulness, the faithfulness of the people of God. And he gives us two couples. The first pair of faithful people we see are Mary and Joseph. We see that Mary and Joseph were very careful to follow the Old Testament law regarding the purification rites and the offering for their firstborn son to the Lord. Now, this would take place in the temple in Jerusalem, but Luke says that they made an offering of a pair of doves or two young pigeons according to the law. Now, the normal offering was a one-year-old lamb, but there was a provision in the law that if the parents couldn't afford a lamb, they could offer two doves or two young pigeons. Now, this suggests that Mary and Joseph, like many first-time parents, didn't have a lot of extra money. So they might have been poor, but they were faithful. They knew God's word and were careful to do it. And that matters far more to God than how much money you have in your bank account. Well, the second faithful pair of people are Simeon and Anna, probably at the other end of the age spectrum. Mary and Joseph likely being maybe young teenagers who were recently married. Simeon and Anna were older folks, as we might say. Now, they testify to and about Jesus in the temple courts. And we don't know much about either of them other than what we just read in Luke. But we know that they are righteous and devout, full of the Holy Spirit, spending their days worshiping and fasting and praying. And Luke says, waiting for what the Lord had promised to do in the Old Testament, what is referred to in this passage as the consolation or the comforting of Israel, or the redemption of Jerusalem. So these godly older folks are both prophets who confirm the message of the angel Gabriel, that salvation had come, and his name is Jesus. Well, there are a ton of potential lessons that we could draw from this text. In fact, it's a marvelous text. But today, I'd really like to draw your attention to just the very last two verses of this passage. It almost seems like a transitional passage, maybe one that we could miss altogether if we read through this without thinking. Let's read it one more time. Verse 39. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child, that is Jesus, grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So we're finishing this Christmas mini-series today by considering the great mystery of who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is fully God and fully man. Two natures in one fantastic person. So if you really want to impress your friends in the new year, tell them that you learned about the hypostatic union in church today over Christmas. The hypostatic union is the theology nerd term for what we're talking about here this morning, the union of both the human and divine natures in the person of Christ. Now, last Sunday, as I said, we considered the divine nature of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that before the creation of the world, Jesus eternally existed as the divine Son in perfect loving relationship, unity with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So that first Christmas day when Jesus was born, it was really the Son of God sent from heaven, coming into his own creation. And today, we're considering the fact that Jesus Christ, though he was God and didn't stop being God, he became a real living and breathing human being, just like you and I. Now, as a child, Jesus grew up in a small town, the small town of Nazareth. Luke writes in this passage that Jesus grew up and became strong. He was filled with knowledge and wisdom. How? Well, most likely by being taught by his parents and other members of his community, and also by hearing and reading the Old Testament scriptures every Sabbath. And Luke says that the grace of God was on him. So let's consider this aspect of the person of Jesus in a little more depth, something that we can celebrate in sort of a maybe overly nostalgic way at Christmas time, but is very real throughout the rest of the year as well. In fact, Jesus is still today reigning and ruling from the throne of heaven as a human being. Jesus was fully God, yes, but at the same time, Jesus was fully man. And in his human nature, Jesus needed to do all of the things that we human beings need to do. He needed to learn and grow and mature in every way. In his human nature, Jesus experienced a very normal human childhood after the angelic proclamation and things of that nature. He had a normal childhood. Jesus experienced all of the things that we experience as children, whether you've forgotten or not. We know that he learned the family business under Joseph of carpentry, possibly filling orders for chairs and tables and such things for people around Nazareth. After the birth accounts of Jesus, Joseph, his adoptive father, drops out of the narrative. Now, we don't really know what happened to Joseph after that, but it's led many commentators to speculate that perhaps Joseph had passed away by the time Jesus started his public ministry around the age of 30. But consider this. Most of the life of Jesus was spent in and around this small town of Nazareth, not being a famous preacher, not doing miraculous healings, but simply growing up and working a normal job and using his life and work and relationships and breath to love God and love people. And that's it. This means that Jesus spent more time running a small business than he did in public ministry. Now, as a child, Jesus surely would have helped out around the house. There were chores to be done, games to be played, songs to be sung, and other younger brothers and sisters to deal with. Now, all of these things are implied in verse 40 of our text today, that Jesus grew and matured. So Luke goes on to describe what happened when Jesus was 12 years old, again at the temple in Jerusalem. Maybe this was sort of a classic Jesus as a child story that Mary would tell. Maybe one of his brothers and sisters would like to tell this, and Mary wanted to forget it. But Mary and Joseph lost track of Jesus in the huge numbers of people who were there for the festivals in Jerusalem. And traveled a whole day away from Jerusalem before they realized that they had left Jesus at the temple as a 12-year-old with no cell phone. When they found him, it's clear that Jesus knew something of his divine nature even at the age of 12. He said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Talking about the temple. So already at the tender age of 12, Jesus understood some of, maybe all of the mystery of who he was. But still, at the end of this, of that story, that narrative, the embarrassing account of losing the Son of God, Luke writes, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Now, which, just as a brief aside, points to the godly purpose of parenting and grandparenting and parenting your friends' children as well. Parents, do you know what your job is? It's to help your kids grow up in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. In other words, to mature, to help your kids grow up and mature in every way. Well, now let's consider other evidence that Jesus Christ, Son of God, was actually fully man as well. When Jesus got hungry, he ate food. What a great thing. Even after the resurrection from the dead, Jesus was still a human being. One of the ways that he demonstrated and proved this to his disciples was he ate a piece of fish in the presence of his disciples. In fact, he made breakfast and had breakfast with the Apostle Peter. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a spirit in the form of a person. He was a real, living human being. Jesus got tired, especially after long days of preaching and ministering to crowds of people. So Jesus slept. Jesus took naps. Did you know that? There's one story in Luke chapter 8 where Jesus is so worn out that he fell asleep in a boat that almost sank because of a violent storm. Now, because Jesus was the Son of God, he could calm the storm with a word of his voice. It would, creation would obey him. But because he was fully man, Jesus had to be woken up from his nap first. So naps are godly, is one of the things that I'm taking away from that. So as we saw in our text today, Jesus was born and needed to grow up in every way, in wisdom and stature, even in his knowledge of how to speak, how to do good carpentry, his knowledge of the scriptures. Imagine that. Jesus, the Word of God, made flesh. The living, embodied Word of God would need to learn how to read his own Word. Now, my wife, Holly, works with four-year-olds in the Appleton School District, and it struck me this week, just imagine being Jesus's 4K teacher. In Luke's account of 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, he says, quote, "Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers." Yeah, I bet. But also, Jesus experienced the full range of human emotions. He experienced joy and happiness. He must have been a joyful guy because children loved to be around him. Traveling with his disciples, I'm sure they shared many jokes and laughs and silly, foolish little moments together. And yet Jesus also experienced deep heartache and pain, the pain of grief and sadness. Jesus wept at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. His heart was moved with compassion when he saw the crowds of people as sheep without a shepherd. He was wounded when he was betrayed and abandoned by his friends before the cross. At times, many times, he was misunderstood, abused, and slandered. His enemies tried to trick him and trap him, and I'm sure, like any of us, that would have been very hard for him to bear. Finally, Jesus knew what it was like to be tempted, to face the temptation to sin. It's a very human tendency in this fallen world to be selfish or unkind, to be rude or mean, or to bend the truth, and so on. This is what the author of the Hebrews says about Jesus that we read this morning already. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, there is his divinity again, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, temptation to sin and sin itself are not the same thing. It's not sinful to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted in every way, and yet he remained without sin. So it is possible to resist sin. But even when we fail, even when we fall hard, not just a stumble, but we have fallen into even gross sin, we understand from the humanity of Jesus that we do not have a Savior who gasps in horror when he looks upon our lives. Our Savior understands what it's like to be in our shoes because he became a man. And he faced all of the temptations of this world himself. So how comforting is this? That Jesus is our great high priest. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. What a comfort it is to know that even when you fail to pray, you have one in heaven who never fails to pray for you. What a comfort it is to know that Jesus provided the sacrifice of his own life on the cross to be a sin offering for us, while at the same time understanding what we are going through and what we're feeling and what we truly need as human beings in this dark and broken world. So this morning, we'll take our application from the author of Hebrews and say this: since Jesus is fully man, let us approach God's throne of grace and find the mercy and grace we need to help us in our time of need. The divinity of Jesus is so important. It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Speaking of the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever of Jesus Christ. Jesus as God is infinitely wise and powerful. He is the sovereign Lord of heaven and earth over our life and our death. But the humanity of Jesus is what allows us to approach his sovereign throne, which is described as a throne of grace. With confidence, not in hesitation, unsure of how our weakness and frailty and sin might be received, not wondering if God will be welcoming or wrathful, not cowering or covering or making excuses as we come. But we are to approach our Lord with confidence. Why? Because he understands. He understands our weakness. He isn't weak, but he understands when we are. And he is ready to offer mercy and grace in abundance when we need it. And oh, how we need it. He is present even today to offer strength to us when we are weak. And isn't that all the more wonderful? To have a God who is powerful and wise, but was willing to take on our frailty and weakness, not ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters, even today. The dual nature of Jesus, fully God and fully man, is both a deep mystery and a wonderful comfort. This is who Jesus is, Son of God and Son of Man. So praise the Lord. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray to you because you are God. You hear us from the throne of heaven because you are God. And you pray for us. You have offered a sacrifice for us. You mediate between us and your Father as a human being, one of us. Lord Jesus, there is none like you. And so we worship you. You are our Savior. You are good. You are the embodiment of God's love for us. So we praise you. Thank you for revealing to us through your word a little bit more of who you are so that we might marvel at you and find comfort from you. We love you and we pray in your mighty name. Amen. Please stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Go in peace today.